This is the Living Clean Podcast. This podcast is not meant to replace meetings, sponsorship, step work, or service. This podcast is meant to be another tool in your recovery toolbox. Our guests are here to share their experience, strength, and hope with recovery through Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for joining us. All right, welcome back to the Living Clean Podcast. This is a special bonus episode. We're just a couple of days removed from Francis's big journey all the way to the deep south. Out of the darkness into the light. 27 is into the book, in the books. And it was so good that we thought we should get on and cut an episode. By the way, I'm Mason. I'm an addict. Clean date 12118, home group, dark side of the moon group. My co-host is here.
Francis Addict, December 22nd, 1992, class of 92. And my home group is You Are the Book Book Study. We meet at 6:30 in the morning on Tuesdays and Thursdays in beautiful Chico, California.
And proof, living proof that recovery can work for anybody. I mean, if this fucking dude can stay clean for 5 years, anybody can. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Chase. I'm an addict. My clean date is February 10th of 2020, class of 2020, as Francis likes to say. My home group is also the Dark Side of the Moon group in Hohol, Tennessee.
So I don't know about you, Chase, but I'm not far from removed from picking up five just a couple of years ago. That felt like another milestone. You know, like when you collect the key tags, you go from obviously getting one every month to every 3 months to, you know, you get your year, then it's 6 months, and then it's another 6 months, and then you go a whole year without one, and you kind of complete the whole cycle in that 2 year period. But I think the next significant milestone for me really felt like that 5 year mark. You feel that way,
man? So here's what kind of makes me reflect on that. It's funny you brought up your experience, because I remember talking to you the day you hit 5 years, and you kind of, we had this discussion then. You're like, man, five just kind of feels like, you know, that's kind of that one of those numbers. And that kind of came back to me today, you know, when I was thinking about it, because it is. And, you know, it can maybe just come in like the stages of recovery, waves of recovery, and just kind of where I'm at right now. But I definitely feel the, I don't know, it's hard to wrap your head around, I guess, is really the thing. But it does kind of feel like a significant number, you know.
Francis, I'm curious to think if you can even remember back that far. But do you remember hitting 5 years clean, and did that feel?
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know that I really remember 5 years. I remember I had a party for 7, and then I had a one for 15, and then I had one for 30. I do think it's a big deal. That's a nickel. You're in it now. 92. So that was, I went to the World Convention, I think that year. And my first one, I only been to two. Eric Clapton played and all that. Am I frozen or is Mason?
Probably me.
Well, Francis is frozen on my screen. I can hear you, but you're. Oh, there you we're go. Live.
We're back.
Yeah. So, congratulations.
He just cut completely out. There he is.
Dang it. All right. Well,
what were you saying?
Congratulations.
Hey.
Big deal.
You know what I remember about 1997? A lot of people are going to laugh about this, but I remember that's when Kane debuted against in the Hell in a Cell against Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
Bad Blood 97 for all you old school WWF fans out there.
I see your homeboys are at Raw right now.
They are. They are. Yep.
Hey, interesting sidebar fact, but Kane has been the mayor of my hometown for a minute now, and he's very supportive and involved with the recovery community there. It's pretty cool. He always shows up at any type of hometown recovery event or fundraiser or any of that. He's very openly supportive of that. So go Kane.
Shout out Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah, for sure.
Now,
You know what else happened that year? Princess Di died.
Princess Diana. Yep.
Very sought after Beanie Baby after that. That's kind of more where my head was at that age. And I
And
remember
more
the
like
Beanie Baby craze.
in more liberal news, that we also had our first Secretary of State that was a female.
Wow. Well, here we go.
Here we go. Had such a great time. How are we breaking this down? We gonna start with Wednesday?
Well, let's talk about Wednesday. So let's Chase and I'll kind of kick it off and then build up to when you actually arrived in Alabama. Or you can talk about your flight if you want to,
Go,
but
go, go.
so I was Chase and I both had the honor and the privilege of being on the committee this year, so we always show up a day early. And for Chase's 5 years, I wanted to do something special. So we both play golf. We went out to a real fancy golf course and took one hell of an ass beating. For all you golfers out there, you know not to go to somewhere that's very challenging the second time or the first time you play all season long. But it was fun. We had a couple of more people in our sponsorship family that we played with, especially one particular old prick who really put a beat down on us, but it was good to see, man. It was really good to see. He had such a good time and we had a good time. And it was the perfect way to start off the week, I think. So we left out here, 5 a.m. in the morning and was teeing off a little after 8 and got in a good round of golf and then the work started. But yeah, what do you think, Chase?
Yeah, it's all that's kind of a bonding thing we've built within our sponsorship family. So anytime, it's kind of become like a thing for us when we go out of town for any NA event. We always find a way to kind of come together, and it kind of shows what you can do. Man, today's just for today, fun and recovery. Stuff I didn't think I would be doing again or had lost the passion to do. It's kind of become one of those things, and it came from being around people in the program. And so anytime we get to do that, it's a blast. I much prefer it when we come out winning money and not losing money, but couldn't think of a better guy to lose it to. So yeah, it was a great way to start it off, I was happy to be a part of, happy we got out there with the people we did,
That's right. And the very next thing we did was went to the hotel, dropped our stuff off, and darted straight to the airport to pick my man Francis up. Yeah, and then it just kind of the magic started from that moment. After we picked up Francis, kind of got back to the hotel, and I'll let Francis kind of talk about what I'd like to hear, Francis, is first of all, let's just backtrack a little bit. If you don't mind, let's talk about some of your realistic fears and things that you had about this whole trip, and then what your expectations were leading up to the trip, and then kind of, yeah, just bring it up to there, and then we'll talk about what happened afterwards, how your expectations were met or wasn't met or whatever. We'll talk about that next, but talk about the journey from maybe this idea starting to the maybe the fear and reservations that you had all the way up until we met at the airport.
Like you talked about being a part of the Bill Brooks family, like a sponsorship family, and you go into these retreats, and you're like, there was a fascination with that, and you're like, and so like the invitation to go to the convention, you're like, I could not go, you're like, I could not go because like I'm so engaged in the stories and the basic text. It's like, was this fucking awesome opportunity to go explore that story. And I know that I'm kind of like a little over the top on that kind of stuff, but it was perfect. It was deeper than I've ever gotten to go with any story. And so that was kind of cool. Going into the thing, I was wondering what I was going to wear. And this friend of mine, he wears these Dixon shirts. And so the day before, like, I'm at work, he sends me a message. He's like, "Hey, I've lost quite a bit of weight. Do you want these Dixons that I have?" And I'm like, "Hell yeah, I'm flying out to Alabama tomorrow. You know, like, I need some flannels." And so I show up to his house, and he has like 20 of these Dixons, which are kind of like really nice flannel shirts. And so I was set, you know, like all weekend long, I had a different flannel to wear. This is one of them, bright yellow. You know, like, they're like liberal flannels, just so you know. I don't know. Like, I flew out, I get there, you're there at the airport for me. It's turning into a routine, because this is what keeps, you know, like, same shit from Colorado. We go to that meeting, and man, you know, like, that was like the best fucking meeting. And like, I think about you guys getting up super early, you know, like, and probably not having a lot of sleep, and you're all revved up for the convention. And I was on the plane all day, you know, like, and I had some pent up energy, but like, it just seemed like that meeting hall was like dripping with history and fucking time, and like all the different things hanging up on the walls. And you knew that that was just, the hall was special to me. And then to get to read Bill Brooks's story at a book study meeting, at the meeting that he starts in 1978, and then the people sharing out, it had me choked up. And, you know, like, it was pretty powerful. You know, I can't think of a more significant history type meeting I've been to.
Yeah, so let's just put a little context around it. So we went to Open Minds and Miracles, which is in Decatur, Alabama, and it is credited, what we found out, to be the longest running meeting in Alabama. Some would argue that it is the oldest meeting in Alabama. That was started, heavily influenced by Bill Brooks, who is the author of If You Want What We Have, in the fifth edition. And so we got to go to the home group, Open Minds of America, the same building that, you know, Bill Brooks and all of the predecessors of that meeting started. And there was actually some people still around who remembered Bill. But the cool thing was, is we get there and they're like handing out these basic texts. And my first thought was, oh shit, is this a book study? And then you could just see the wheels in Francis's head just going crazy. And so Francis was able to look at the chairperson and like, we got to start, we got to read here. And so that led to us reading Bill's story at Bill's home group, the oldest meeting in Alabama, you know, where, you know, Bill, he didn't get clean there, but that's where a majority of his recovery was. And that's, you know, ultimately where he was at when his life ended. It was just super powerful. Chase, what were some of your thoughts about it, man?
Yeah, it was, the whole experience was great. I think I shared about it in the meeting. You know, I've read that story so many times, just because it is so important within our sponsorship family. That's, you know, first sponsorship retreat, you know, you hear about it and it kind of prompts you to go read it. But it's cool, like anything in the literature, each time I read it, I identify with something a little bit different in it, you know. But being in that, it's crazy because we're super tied in with that area. And in 5 years, that's the first time I've ever been to that meeting, actually. And so I think it lined up the way it was supposed to be. Maybe something I would have taken for granted outside the circumstances with how important it was to Francis and getting to be there, you know, in that moment and the perfect, you know, convention time. There are people who aren't normally in that meeting who did have some history with Bill himself that were able to speak. You know, one of those no coincidences, you know, everybody who was supposed to be in that meeting that night was there. And not every time you walk in the room do you feel like that strong of a spirit. It can be found, but I don't feel it every time. But there was definitely something special about that night. And yeah, I was grateful to be a part of. Normally, I'm not going to leave the hotel and go to a meeting on Wednesday night. But I'm glad I tagged along on this one.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And something I grabbed my fifth edition. I was looking for. It says I have experienced the same feeling from time to time. It was like being brought forward from the darkness to the light. God doesn't let me stay in the sunlight too long, but He will help me if I choose to stay in the twilight. I walked away from that car a free man. I did not realize this for a long time. Since that day, I've not had the desire to use. So, you know, that was the first time that it may have occurred to me that Bill may have had something to do with the naming of this convention. I know he was heavily involved in this convention, which was just another piece of the puzzle that I thought was interesting. We don't know that to be factual, or I don't know that to be factual. Francis may have found something out on that. But to my knowledge, I don't know that to be fact. Francis, did you find anything out about that?
I did not. I did hear a story that I wanted to share a little bit later by about a guy, Jerry Russell, who was kind of credited as the driver behind starting the convention. I could probably share it now. I was invited up to Ryan R's room. He had this flash drive with video on it of Bill Brooks. And we went up there and he told me some stories about Bill. And then, you know, like I'm always looking for signs. You know, like it had been cloudy all day long. We're getting ready to wrap things up and the sun kind of comes out. Like it's the first day that I seen sun since Wednesday, because it was all like totally cloudy all day long. And I took some pictures of it. And he says, "Oh, hey, this guy, Jerry Russell, he's the guy that was the driver behind it, and he was an Elvis impersonator. He couldn't talk very well; he stuttered, but he sure could sing Elvis." And he said, "I disagreed with him. I didn't think we had the capacity to start it." And I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of interesting." And then you're like, "That's when I recognized the son," and he's like, "By the way, I saw his daughter here." And I saw her with a group of women that are in treatment, and I'm like, holy shit, you know, like if this isn't the business right here, you know, like here's somebody that just insists on having a convention, and the people around him don't think it's possible to have, and he does it anyway, and 27 years later, his daughter is a newcomer at that convention. I didn't get to meet her, you know, like I didn't like it was just like one of those hits. I got a hit from it that I thought was pretty powerful. It was like one of the highlights. I'm like, oh man, this is good.
I just thought that was the absolute perfect way to start the week off. You know, from the day that Chase and I had to picking you up at the airport to getting the experience. One of the special things was just to be there to experience it with you, man. Like that was what was really cool. I mean, I was emotional just thinking about how emotional you must be.
Oh God.
I
Yeah,
mean, it
it
was so
cracked me
funny.
open. I was already cracking open, but that first meeting on Wednesday night cracked me open for the rest of the time there.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting too, you know, another one of those no coincidences, but kind of one person's little passion for something, where's that going to go? Because there just so happened to be a random couple who decided to attend that meeting that night from Georgia. And a lot of that story is about, you know, his inspiration and guidance from Georgia to get meetings started in Alabama. And they're like, we're definitely taking this back to Georgia and reading it in our home group. And so at some point soon, there's probably going to be a book study in Georgia that's kind of just tracing that story on back. You know, it was, like I said, the right people were in the room at the right time. It was really cool.
Yeah,
it was great. So we leave that meeting, we go out to eat, and then we start gearing up for the convention. And Thursday, this is a 4-day convention. Thursday was just another shot in the heart for me, because the guy who kicked off the whole convention, the very first speaker, is a sponsee of mine. But I met this guy doing H&I, and he was in the local jail out here. I mean, I'd met him before that because it's a small town and I knew of him. We didn't spend a lot of time together in active addiction, but I came to H&I, and he was a regular in the H&I meeting, and he always talked about what he was going to do when he got out. And a couple of times he got out, he asked me to sponsor him. He never followed up with any of that. He never called. And before you know it, you know, he drifted himself back out and ended up back in jail and repeated that pattern several times. And then eventually I was in there doing H&I one day, and you could just tell a difference. Like, his promises had went out the window. He wasn't making these guarantees about what he was going to do, but there was a different fire inside of him. So he gets out this time, asks me to sponsor him again, and does everything that I suggested that he do, like calling me every day. We got into the steps, worked really hard in the steps. As a matter of fact, he's the first guy that I've ever taken through all 12 steps from beginning to end. And then he was the actual speaker that kicked it off. Of course, I got to give him a little gag gift for his clean date. He was celebrating 2 years. It was just really cool. And we'll talk. I'll let you guys kind of fill in what you thought about him, and then we'll talk about the next speaker.
I thought he. I mean, I was there, and I really enjoyed it. In fact, I bought some CDs. His was one of them I bought. I had a group tonight. I work in treatment. It wasn't a regular group of mine, so I just bought the whole stack. And his was the first one I listened to of the CDs I bought. I listened to his first, and I listened to my share. And then I also had the two Friday night and Saturday main speakers. And I was going to play the Saturday main speaker in this group. And then there was this guy that was new, who was a convict. You know, like, he was on parole, and they're making him go. He's like, I don't even want to be here. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to go back out to the car and get this one CD out of the, you know, like, out of the deck. And we put it in, and he was this guy was completely engaged in Tony's share. And it was like a very engaging share. It was great. He was funny. You know, but he was also really passionate about what he was sharing. And I enjoyed him talking a little bit about your dad, doing H&I with him, and, you know, like, how that led him into being sponsored by you. So, it was really cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, man. I love Tony to death, and, you know, obviously I've gotten to start getting to know him, you know, here more recently, a little bit better. I work with a guy every day, and here's the thing, you know, there's a lot of people that don't really know him that well, and then got to hear him speak, and they're like, man, like, he was great. You know what I mean? And here's my thing about him is, that is the version you are going to get, like, 100% of the time. Like, he's one of the most authentic people in the world, and his passion isn't because he's up on stage behind the microphone. Like, that is his passion for recovery and the program and the things he talks about. Like, that's him all the time. I don't ever catch him on an off day where that's not the case. And I can really, like, really appreciate that about somebody. And seeing him get up there and kill it, man. You know, it was great. I love, it's kind of cool getting to see somebody come in and then fast forward and see them do something like that and carry, you know, a clear message that you know they're living. That's the cool thing about it.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And I don't think we'll go through every speaker and workshop, but these first couple were pretty significant for me because of their background and their history with not only that convention, but the local area. Because we did have a lot of speakers from out of town. But the second speaker, this guy, I was able to be there the first time that he came to a convention. He was actually in a program that I was running at the time and still run. But when he came to the convention, like the whole week leading up, he was trying every way in the world that he could to get out of it. This dude came from the streets of Nashville, flying a sign on the interstate. His social skills were slim to none. Like he had no ability to be able to deal with a group of people larger than two. And with that first convention, like he didn't spend a lot of time outside of the hotel room. And so fast forward, a couple of years, 3 years later, for him to, you know, I seen it last year. He got up and did a reading, and I thought that was, or he did the clean time or the 50 states, I think, something like that. One of those two. And I thought, man, what a transition this dude's made. But even taking it a step further this year and getting up on that stage and actually speaking is, I can't even put into words the growth in that dude, you know. So that first, those first couple of shares just had me, I mean, just carrying on from the Bill Brooks meeting into that was just set the tone for the entire week for me.
Indeed.
Yeah, I have to say a little bit about him too, because I've had the pleasure of sponsoring him for the last 3.5, close to 4 years, and I remember his housemates telling me, like, I was like, man, you need to call me, you know, at the beginning, like, you need to call me. And they said he would just sit on the bed and just stare at his phone, and like when he first started calling me was a big deal. And then I remember a few months down the road, like, hey man, go in this meeting and read Who is an Addict, you know what I mean? And like it was like crippling to him to even go in our little home group with 10 people there and read a reading. And to see how he progressed, you know, doing step work with him, watching him progress in life, but also getting up like on the stage in front of a bunch of people, like it was nothing. You know, you see growth in people, but like I've probably not seen as much growth in an individual as him. And so it's, again, getting to see somebody come in from day one and build a relationship with them and kind of the look where they're at now deal with it. It's always a good experience.
Well, it's one of those slippery slopes that we face in the fellowship today because it's obviously severe social anxiety that he's dealing with. So there's this big line between do we talk about the 12 steps being a solution for something that's an outside issue? But from our experience is that how he grew in this area is continuing to walk through that fear, and it took baby steps. From reading a read, I mean, you should have seen the first time that he would read a reading. He would get to a place to where he almost hyperventilated, to where it became an everyday thing, and it started from there. And then he spoke at the home group, and then, you know, so that's one of those things that, you know, there is some evidence of people getting better, but it's also a slippery slope because people are real finicky about, you know, even suggesting that walking through fear of social anxiety is the solution. But, you know, this is a personal opinion because of some evidence that I've seen that walking through fear definitely is beneficial to the treatment of social anxiety. I'm not saying that's the complete solution, but there's definitely some evidence with this dude that walking through those fears can be conducive to whatever that condition is.
There's a story about it in the back of the book called Speaking Up. It was a story about a guy that from Ireland, the Irish author, And he talks about having some real social anxiety and not being able to speak. And then he overcomes that in recovery. Now he's like a director, a film director, and a writer, and doing all kinds of stuff that is changing the world. But it started out as being somebody that was really shy that didn't want to talk.
You know, I'm just on a mission tonight to make sure that anybody who listens no longer listens anymore. I've been outed in my political views, and now I'm talking about treating mental health disorders with the 12 steps. So the chances of anybody listening after this week, it's been a good ride. So I appreciate the support. Just remember that we still have Francis here. So
the main speaker opened that can of worms. You all have a mental illness.
Hey, you know, I just really loved learning the culture. You know, like there was this, all the speakers are saying some shit about Roll Tide. And boo. I didn't know what that was about, but I thought I would go and get a t-shirt at the airport.
That's
wear it for you.
It's over. It's over. Hey, look, there's some things about you that I could put up with, you know, but this is, I'm speechless. I am speechless right now.
Man, ultimate stab in the back.
So for those of you listening, you have some diehard Tennessee Vol fans. And if you're not familiar with SEC football, imagine the biggest rivalries in the world. I mean, Lakers-Celtics, right? And if you're a huge Lakers fan, your co-host comes on wearing a Boston Celtics jersey. It's unacceptable. So go Vols, Francis. We got to get you some orange. Unbelievable.
I mean, orange and red are like my least favorite colors right now. It was tough. So just to wear this for an evening, it'll never happen again.
Yeah.
It better not, Francis. It better not.
It's the kind of red. That's the kind of red that I envision. Like if you had a bad case of hemorrhoids, the blood that would come out. That's kind of.
You mean crimson red?
Yeah.
I was gonna say Drake and Kendrick Lamar have a.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly. So as we roll on into the Thursday night speaker, one of the cool things about this convention was that, you know, for those of you that are podcast listeners, I have been participating on the Anonymous podcast in the Step Working Guide study. And there's a group of individuals on there that go through the Step Working Guide, and they are, well, self-proclaimed the squad. And they're just a group of really great people in the fellowship from all over the country, from, you know, mostly from the East Coast, but then you've got one West Coast participant, and then it's kind of spread out all over the East Coast. And they like to meet up from time to time. And I can remember pitching the idea, hey, we got a convention in Alabama. So it was really neat that they decided to show up, and not only did they show up, they were, you know, they were all participating in some form of fashion, from workshops to Ask It Basket and different things. So as Thursday night begins to roll in, all these people are rolling in, and it's the first time that a lot of us got to meet them in person. It's voices that so many people have heard over the air, much like Francis and Chase and myself over this podcast. So that was pretty cool. And they were even given the opportunity to set up and do some, you know, little recordings that hopefully will come out here soon. So check that out on their side of the street. And yeah, so that was neat, which was a unique opportunity for us to have workshop speakers and speakers that, you know, normally you wouldn't be able to, it wouldn't make sense for them to travel those long distances in order to be a 30-minute speaker. But because they all wanted to meet up there, it really did something special for this convention, or at least that's my thoughts on it. I thought that was a very unique opportunity.
Douglas and I are kind of have this little back and forth thing that happens. And I was kind of fascinated. I'm like, oh, the Anonymous podcast squad's going to be there. And I felt, I'm not sure how I felt about it. You know, like I was kind of fascinated about it, but also like, oh, that kind of is fucked up. You know, like two podcasts at the same convention. But anyway, so I'm not a participant in that podcast. I did it just for today, but like this is the one that like has my passion. So there was a day where I was struggling to fit in. And Ryan R had invited me to lunch, but somehow I got distracted and they all left. And I'm like, fuck, I'm trying to engage with JW and he's on some sort of mission and I can't get him to hang out with me. And then I'm like standing back by the elevators and Douglas is like across the room and he points at me and he says, come here. And I'm like, me? Like I pointed to me like you. He's like, yeah, come here. And he threw me in the car and we went to lunch and I had lunch with those guys. And it was like the coolest moment. And I felt like it was some of the more that God shit that was happening. Like I wasn't supposed to go with Ryan. I was supposed to go with the squad and be on the inside of that car with their sick sense of humor. You know, like it was like it's next level sick shit that they have going on in there. And then the texting back and forth, like Douglas is texting Mason, ask Francis where he's at right now. And then like I send him a picture with me and them and I say, I hear there's an opening with the squad because I know you're getting a second job. You know, like so we're like there's this weird texting thing that's happening between the three of us. And it was the coolest thing. And I really appreciated Douglas doing that. And the sense of humor, because when we got back to the hotel, he's like, now get out of the car, we're enemies again. And I'm like so it was neat. It was a real God shot. So I hope he listens to it. He's probably not listening to it, but the other Jennifer I know will listen to this one. Thanks.
Yeah, they added so much to first off programming. Absolutely killed it. They stuck with subcommittee meetings all year long, multiple people involved, and it lined up perfect where it was really nice to, you know, I've been on that a couple times doing it just for today and then a little bit out of the step working guy. I began to meet them in person and they all, every workshop I went to that they were involved in was great. And, you know, cherry on top, Douglas got to be my hot date to the committee dinner on Saturday, so that was really special, you know, getting to take Douglas out on a date. But no, it was a pleasure to get to hang out with all of them, and just make sure you tell your mom and them, you know.
Tell your mom and
yeah.
So that a funny story about Douglas being your plus one is he's not super attractive to like talking about car motions and that side of service. So I'm sitting between Douglas and one of our Thursday night main speaker and our Friday night main speaker, who are super involved. I think they're RDs in their region. And so they break out in this car discussion. So I'm deliberately engaging across from Douglas in the conversation, asking these questions. So Douglas is forced to listen to all this nonsense just as a gag, you know. It's that's the funny thing about this group of people that's down here. The way you know that you're in the in crowd, I guess, are in with the people down here is if you're constantly getting your balls busted. That's just a form, our greatest form of love.
Yeah, and love language for sure.
That's our love language for sure. So it was really cool to make Douglas super uncomfortable in that conversation. It was hilarious. But anyways, we'll carry on to Thursday night. So we had Delana, who I first discovered on the podcast. She was a suggestion, and we talked about, I don't even remember now. One of the traditions, I believe, was the first time that she was on. And I just love her spirit and her passion for service. It's so attractive. And I'll tell you what, if you don't know your shit, she's a very intimidating figure to be around. And I've seen some men get real uncomfortable around her who thought they knew some things. And she's just a little spitfire. And what a pleasure it was to spend some time. She's my kind of people. So that was a gift. And she brought two people with her, Coralie, and God forgive me, I can't remember the other lady's name, but they were just such a joy to be around. And I think they had a blast, and she did a great job Thursday night. And we were off to the races. Friday started the workshops, and we had unbelievable topics with unbelievable speakers. Is there anything that you guys can remember about the workshops on Friday that kind of stood out? Which ones did you go to, or something that you heard?
I think everybody really, from what I saw, held their own. And like Mo was like kept trying to engage with me on different things. He couldn't quite figure me out. It's kind of like me not being able to figure out Douglas. He's like, "What's up with you? You don't talk very much. You just say two or three words to me." And and he was talking about wanting help with programming. And I finally just told him, "You're doing just fine. You're fucking killing it this weekend, and I'm not sure what you don't need nothing from me, but he wouldn't give up, God bless him. But I listened to D share. I went and supported D, and I thought he did great. I was in my own workshop, and I was in my head about stuff, and didn't think I did very well, but. I re-listened to the CD today, and I did better than I usually do. The young lady after me was good. I really enjoyed Kayla. I texted you, I think it was Saturday morning, and you're like, "I'm supporting Kayla." I'm like, "I'm on my way." And I got to hear her share, and that was like she did such a great job. I also want to just say one of the highlights was going out with just you and Kayla for lunch. I think that might have been Thursday, but just to take a minute to get to know your wife because I know you and I've spent time with you, but I've never spent any kind of time with your wife, and what a cool person she is. Enjoyed the lunch. Enjoyed hearing her share. Great sense of humor. She puts up with you, so she has to be great.
She don't only put up with me, she gives me back tenfold to me. One of the few individuals that can silence me very easily, just with a snap of the fingers, But she's incredible.
Kayla absolutely killed it. And my days are likely to mix together, but I think this was all Friday. I actually skipped out on D because I get to hear, it's a blessing when I don't have to listen to D talk. So I went next door and checked out our good buddy Chris F, also from Cookeville, who first, I've known Chris for a couple of years now. I actually met him for the first time at Out of the Darkness a couple of years back. And, got to hear him speak, kind of talking about what is your spiritual path, and that was absolutely fantastic. And I think it was Friday, Mason. I'm a sucker for the Triangle of Self-Obsession, and a couple of the guys from the squad got up there and talked about Triangle of Self-Obsession. Absolutely love it. Anytime that topic's brought up, it's kind of a center point of my own. Everything goes back to that for me. And I think, Josh from Murfreesboro was on Friday, and absolutely again, guy I've known for a couple of years, never heard him speak, and I think he was absolutely excellent. Like, really, really, really enjoyed that workshop as well.
Shout out to Will and Eric, the triangle. Francis
Hey, blame the programming guy. They put the triangle up, Francis. I can't miss it. I know. Didn't realize you were in the other room, but anyway.
I should have shared the story of the triangle, like the history of the triangle of self-obsession, for people to get a little bit over on our side too.
Yeah, getting into old Greg P at that point.
So I guess just to keep from for time's sake, we won't go into all the workshops. They were just, I've been going to this convention for 7 years myself, and this was hands down the best that programming has done as far as the consistency of the workshops. And, from time to time, you name and what we call workshop. I know not everybody refers to these as workshops. What we're calling workshops is where a specific topic is put on, like the Triangle of Self-Obsession, and then we have 2 30-minute speakers. And then if there's time left over, it's opened up to the floor. But we had a couple of those going on at a time, but just the consistency and the speakers staying on the topic, it's as good as I've ever seen this year. It was unbelievable.
Let's soapbox that real quick. If you're ever asked to do a workshop, please stay on topic. I hate going to listen to the Triangle of Self-Obsession. You get a speaker meeting about not the Triangle of Self-Obsession.
Yeah, like I just wanted to give a huge shout out to Mo and whatever committee people he had. What a fantastic job. That's was some next level programming. You don't need my help, Mo. Stop it.
All right, well, let's talk about Friday. So Friday, as we're getting ready for the Friday night speaker, one thing is apparent that we have a little bit of an issue because we dealt with some high attendance the last year and the year before, maybe, but Friday night was never standing room only to the point to where we had to open up the overflow room. So it became apparent quick that something really special was happening. An hour before the Friday night speaker, the room is already full and people are having to sit on the floor. We had a little playback from the World Convention, Do Not Move the Chairs. We had a little bit of that in little old Alabama, Decatur, Alabama. But the energy, I don't know about you guys. I had the honor of chairing the Friday night meeting as if for being the vice chair, but the energy inside of that room was just second to none. And I had a couple of people, I have, like I said, I have that program, and I had a couple of those guys that are fairly new, and this is their first convention experience. And one guy who I'm going to bring up in a little bit, who had 26 days clean, came up to me and he's like, I had no idea that you could have fun like that. Today's just for today is actually about fun. But he was moved to tears, about he's seen all the, we had music playing, people were dancing and just having the time of their lives. And people, I mean, I had those same fears when I was new. I thought the fun was over, and just the atmosphere was unbelievable. What did you guys think about the atmosphere?
Go ahead, Chase.
Yeah, I'll go. Let's jump back to Thursday. We actually is the only day we got to count off attendance in the main speaker. There were 201 people in the Thursday meeting. And that never happened. So that kind of made you think, okay, there's that many people here. But oh yeah, it was unbelievable. It was first time we really had the music going between that. But I think it was just not forced, organic. Like everybody was on fire. This convention's always incredible, but there was definitely something really going on this year. It's one of those things that it's can't put into words, man. It's a feeling, a spirit. It's not really something tangible that you can explain, but it was fantastic.
I like smaller conventions, you know what I mean? And it's like I think you could capture like that kind of energy at smaller conventions. And I don't know And I can consider this kind of a smaller convention. But you know, I think that you guys do have something real special. It's like, I've been to a lot of conventions, and this was probably the best experience I've had. You know, like, World was fantastic for its own reasons. You know, like, I was out on my own history quest on that shit. But in terms of engaging with people, engaging with speakers, it was next level stuff. You know, like, it's hard to articulate how good it was. You know, like, my heart is still full. I'm sure I'll be riding it for another several weeks before, I'm needing to listen to the CDs again. But yeah, I mean, that was, I can't even tell you how good it was. This is some fucking good dope.
Yeah.
This is a good recovery dope.
Well, I know some people are probably chuckling when Chase said 200, but it's a unique venue too, because it's a real intimate setting. You know, Francis and I were at the Colorado convention, regional convention earlier this year, or at the end of last year. And it's, the scale is completely different, you know, like, it was a fairly, you know, it was a large convention compared to our convention, but the venue is so large that you don't have that sort of intimacy where you're going to see the same individual 5, 7, 8 times while you're at the convention, unless you're Chad C, and then you don't see him but once.
Man, I swear he's a ghost. I swear.
Yeah. But yeah, that, so for us to have 200, you got to think, in our main meeting hall, we have the capacity to hold somewhere around 400 tops, you know. So that's in the scale of conventions that are out there, it's very, very small. But it's very special too. When I come to see Francis, you're talking about, like, in April at the Northern Cal, we're talking 7,000-8,000, you know, maybe more at that convention, you know, over 10 times the scale of this convention. But, yeah, but I just don't think it's hard to capture the intimacy. The World Convention was super special, but it's a different kind of special. It's just the sheer magnitude of it that is unbelievable, to see that many people, you know, with the same mission and the same purpose. And but you may bump into somebody at the World Convention once and go to the same workshops and still not see them again. You know, it's just, the magnitude of the World Convention is completely different than this little small convention. So the Friday night speaker was Charles B from Las Vegas. I probably my favorite speaker of the whole convention, just very powerful, raw honesty. He was not afraid to get up there and get completely vulnerable. He didn't try to sound like Mr. Recovery, even though he's had some, you know, he's been involved in some pretty cool things inside the fellowship, but also shared about downfall after downfall, you know, because he got clean at such an early age that, you know, you basically grow up in recovery. So all the mistakes that you make as a young adult or as a teenager, you know, are happening inside of the fellowship. So just to get raw and vulnerable and to show people that, hey, even though you make some at times terrible mistakes, as long as you don't put anything in, like, you got a chance to, you know, rebuild your reputation and regain trust and, you know, a bunch of different things, work through a lot of that shit so that you don't repeat those mistakes. You know, I really enjoyed his piece on anonymity.
Absolutely.
I thought that was so powerful. You got to realize that this is a, this individual was gay, was a black man, And he made the statement that in this fellowship, there are no gay addicts, there are no black addicts, there are no white addicts, there are no straight addicts, that addict is just enough. And that's the true spirit of anonymity that, I just, that did something for me, man. That was really cool to hear, and I never thought about it in those terms before.
I think I was a program chair for Western Service Learning Days, and for those other people on the East Coast, it's kind of like a service symposium convention. And Charles was the we asked him to speak, and some of that stuff he was talking about, he was in the middle of, and we decided to bring him on anyway, and and he shared, he was raw that weekend too, and he was in the middle of it. So I was it was really glad to see him again. That was probably about 10 years ago that I did that. And actually, I was on the committee was Jen from the Anonymous podcast. So I've known her for a number of years from doing service with her. So, but yeah, Charles is a great speaker. And I tried to challenge him. I also did with D, like on that anonymity thing is like, how come there's not gay speakers, but there are men speakers or male addicts? And like, why are there's no such thing as a gay addict, but there's such thing as a male addict or a female addict? Like, and we as a fellowship, we still haven't figured that shit out yet,
That's
around
interesting you say
anonymity.
that. That's a, you bring about a good point, Francis. But you have some personal experience with that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I sponsored a woman through the 12 steps. She was the first person that I sponsored through the 12 steps, and she didn't ask me to sponsor her. She told me I was sponsoring her because, like she had cycled through a few women and it didn't work out, and she was always asking me questions, and so she said, "You're already sponsoring me. You're like I'm already asking you all kinds of questions. You should just get me writing." I'm like, "Okay, let's go." And it was and it's still a great relationship, like that. And it allowed me to kind of really look inside me and figure out, like that I am capable of having an intimate relationship with another human being and not be afraid of who I am, because I think God is bigger than that.
Yeah.
I can honor the relationship with my higher power by being appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. So we as a fellowship may struggle with that, but you've put the true spirit of anonymity into practice in that area. And I've heard you share about it a couple of times. So find that fascinating.
It's not about me, it's about this convention.
Take a compliment, Francis. You're
Thank you. I appreciate that.
as bad as I am about taking compliments. Why are they so uncomfortable?
Chase.
Man,
I
I don't have much more to say about the speaker than y'all have said. Man, that's probably the in the top two speakers I've ever heard in person. For me, other one being at Out of the Darkness a couple years ago. I think she's been
JW.
on here. Nah, Janice B from Hollywood. Hey, I've heard JW speak a lot, and it's always a good time. But I also get to talk to JW all the time. So hearing somebody different, and I tried to do myself, I tried to make it a point. I normally cheat and I'll go dig up speaker tapes, if we were going to be hearing to get familiar. But I didn't do that, so I was completely fresh. When Saturday Night Speaker came, turns out I'd heard one before anyways, unintentionally. So I was completely fresh of never hearing the Friday night speaker. And here's the thing I loved is, man, I can hear all kinds of things, but when they keep going back to the importance of working the steps, like you got me sold. That's when the message goes back to that, and I feel like it did Friday night for sure. Really every night. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed.
Choco Loco. He did a good
Choco
job too.
Loco.
We had him at our regional convention last year, and I totally forgot about him. I'm like, I know I've heard him somewhere before. It was just like 1 year ago that he was at our convention, And I was going to play his CD to my group tonight. And I go to open up the CD player, and last year's CD was in there. Like, so it had been that long since I used the CD player. But, you know, like, I'm like, oh, we just had him last year. You know, mm-hmm. You know, like, they deserve to listen to it again. You know, like, so, yeah, he's a Raymond's a great speaker. Yep. I have a sponsee that's obsessed with him. He works for the university as a custodian, and he listens to speaker tapes, but his favorite is Raymond. And like, he's like, does Raymond impersonations, and you hear Raymond, at, you know, like when he shares. And so, you know, like Raymond's had an effect on people.
Yeah, for sure.
In my sponsorship family.
So just like, while you were sharing that, you know, like we've been kind of building up these individual speakers is talking about being great, but do you guys think that the spirit inside the room, the spirit of the fellowship, the spirit of the principles, do you feel like that was working through everybody there and just elevated it to a point of where we're hearing the you know, the group conscience of the fellowship coming through these speakers? I that may be a little out there, but
no, not at all. In fact, your Sunday morning speaker is a deadhead, right? And and that's kind of like some deadhead shit right there. You know, like the band plays off the audience and then the vibe in the venue, and you know, like, and there's a back and forth between that. And I think that now, like, and much of the Grateful Dead stuff is drug induced, but you know, like, it was certainly a consciousness happening at your convention where people were feeling the love. You know, it's Tony talked about that in his share. It's like you feel the love that's in this room right now. Prison is the opposite of that. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, you so, yes, you know, like, you know, like, I think that some people can probably overcome that. You know, like people that speak a lot. I know Charles speaks a lot, and Raymond speaks a lot. But I think that, you know, like Tony probably picked up on that, and it shined through him. You know, like, it's so like that midnight speaker. I guarantee she tapped into the spirit of the room. You know, like she said, she was cranky and didn't like people. And once she got past that, like the spirit, like the beautiful message, you know, like that she carried. And I think that she tapped in. So,
What a pleasant surprise the midnight speaker was. This was a last minute addition. Our Thursday night speaker, unfortunately, had something come up and couldn't make it. So we had to swap Delana, who was supposed to be the midnight speaker, to that spot, and had to make a last minute adjustment. And what a powerful message that she shared. It was just unbelievable. It was great.
Yeah, she kind of walked up there really kind of real mousy, you know, like, and humble, you know, like, and I didn't know what to make of her. But when she started rolling it out, you know, like, it was like, drop the mic when she was done. And then she went back into her little librarian look where she kind of like tiptoed off the stage. I'm like, wow, there was some power in that person there.
Absolutely. So I want to talk about Saturday night before the main speaker. The first thing that we do that I really enjoy, and I know a lot of conventions do that.
Holy shit.
Is the state countdown first. It was really cool, man. I think I counted somewhere around 30 states that were represented in some form or fashion. Obviously, the ones closer to us were represented more. But we've kind of had this little our college football rivalry kind of comes out during that time, you know, and it's the North Alabama convention, but a majority of, well, not a majority, but a large number of groups are actually in the state of Tennessee that are a part of that area. And over the years, Tennessee has attended that convention and, yeah, I mean, just in unbelievable fashion. So,
I don't know if there were more of you, but you guys were certainly the loudest.
yeah, it was
I'm
really
like,
cool.
what the hell? What is this?
Hey, Mason, I'm gonna chalk this up to you just being the most humble human being on the planet, but you cruised into Saturday without mentioning a colossal event Friday night, where the Family Feud champions from last year came back and went back to back and defended their title against all odds. Francis, I think you were there to witness that.
I choked at the fucking, it was like I missed the buzzer beater. Me and Delaner, or Smarty Pants Delaner, is going to be on the same team next year.
Oh
We're already building our dream team.
man. Well, shout out to Tony P, Robbie Hustle, and Mo, our teammates. Couldn't have done it without them. But it feels good to taste sweet victory 2 years in a row.
The shout out to the entertainment guys for putting something like that together. That was so fun.
You guys, this clean time countdown was like a next level shit too. Like I've never witnessed anything like that. I was asking other people that were, like, do they do this down in Mississippi? And they're like, yeah, but it's not quite like this. So don't expect that kind of nonsense at Northern California Convention. We're very serious about our clean time countdown. But I mean, like, whoa, this is a revival up in here. It was so fun that like leading into the countdown and the countdown was very powerful, very powerful. Like the whole newcomer thing was very well done and amazing. I don't know, from an outsider's perspective, I was kind of blown away by it.
That's my favorite part of every convention. Like, I could just show up for the clean time countdown and get spiritually fed. Like, I don't get emotional. Like, I've made it like my life's work to not do that publicly. But clean time countdowns, like, I'll break down during that. And it.
Well, it's probably my favorite part of every convention too, and every convention is a little bit different. I'm just saying this was some top-notch clean time countdown you guys have. You should do whatever you can to keep the magic.
Yeah, it was yeah, that I mean that's so the people who were involved in this convention before us, the people who helped put it on in the beginning and have kind of been on the committee for years, as they've kind of transitioned out as they've gotten older, one of the things one of the main message that they passed down about this convention is that this convention is tailored to the newcomer, and that is the sole focus of this convention is making those newcomers feel something are showing them something they've never experienced before, from whether it's fun and recovery or the love, or even all the way down to those who had a day and 2 days. We had an addict there that had 1 day clean. And we had another one that had 2 days, and you can't tell me that they didn't feel something special.
Mason, I want to go back to the gentleman you talked about with 26 days, real quick. And something I want to say, that is so what he said to you privately, but just watching his demeanor from he walked in right before a speaker, probably Friday night, and he was with a friend from ours from Colombia, and he introduced me. I met him like immediately right there, and watching his demeanor from right before that to where he was at just Saturday evening. And it's like it's contagious to them, and sometimes we sometimes I'll keep it on me. Sometimes I don't realize like how my mood, my attitude, you know, what I'm doing can really be picked up on by those new people. And I'll say this, for a dude that's got 26 days, I watched him do more service work in 3 days unasked than I've seen guys with multiple decades do since I've been clean. And, you know, there's still wood and water to be toted. And to see a guy come in with 26 days and jump right in the middle of the boat and get involved, man, that'll get you fired up, you know?
So I was actually recording Thursday night with Douglas. We were doing a little pregame podcast before the main speaker. And I was in the middle of recording, and I heard our friend from Columbia say, "This guy's got 26 days," and I instantly stopped what I was doing and went over there to him. It's because of that specific number and that specific day. My first convention, I had 26 days clean during the clean time countdown. And I just grabbed him up and I was like, "Dude, you don't," I had goosebumps, man, just running up my, I was like, "You don't understand what you've done for me. I'm going to get to live vicariously through you, and I'm going to get to see what 26 days was," because I've always thought back to that first convention that I was at. And yeah, so that was just powerful, man. I love that dude, and I can't wait to see all of them back. I just believe it. Something special is going to happen this year, and they're coming back. We got to give out over 100 basic text. You know, it was really great.
I wanted to, there was a couple of things. I don't know if we're segueing into another thing, but another thing that I want to just say, your guys' hospitality room was also next level. I, you know, like I've been to hospitality rooms where, you know, like they have coffee. You know, like, and there's card games, and that's basically what we have over here. Sometimes there's some candy and stuff like that. But you guys are feeding people. You know what I mean? Like, I could have ate there all weekend and not went out to a restaurant. I mean, the restaurant stuff is part of it. You know, like part of going out and eating with friends. But if I didn't have any money, I could have been just eating for free in the hospitality room. And I've never seen that done before. Like, I don't know if that's done all over the South or if that's just done at your convention, but so fucking cool. You know, like that's some next level stuff. And so your hospitality committee and how you guys approach that, I just think it was amazing.
Yeah, I think that just goes back to tailoring this convention to the newcomer. And most of the time, the person who can't go out and eat, we don't want people to feel like money is the reason that they don't come. What another thing that happens is, you know, a few groups in the area also make it a point every year to purchase indigent rooms at the convention. Hmm. And, you know, sometimes you may have five or seven people, but there's usually a men's room and a women's room for newcomers. And a couple of groups have pitched in and done that over the years, too. And it's really been a reason why a lot of those people have been able to stay that hospitality room in those indigent rooms. And also giving away, we give away registrations, which that's not uncommon for newcomers. But yeah, that's always been a focus of ours, is tailoring it for the newcomer and not letting money be the reason why they don't get to come.
Man, shout out to the people who work it. Hospitality has to be the hardest position on that committee, and they absolutely, not only like what it provides, but the way that it ran and what it takes for them to run that. Like, shout out to anybody involved in that.
Hospitality and registration, merchandise. I thought the merchandise was great this year. I thought we had a good design. Shout out to Corey, who designed it, won the art contest. That's usually what we do every year, is we have a contest. Well, not every year. I think that we skipped it a couple of years. But this year, We had a at one of the fundraisers, we had people submit art, and if you won the art contest, you got a free room. And I think that really helped Corey be able to be a part of the convention and also have a room at the convention, you know. So that was cool too. And the design was just phenomenal. It was great.
I'm gonna have to get on that art contest. Chat GBT
See?
some art up for it.
It didn't work. I tried. He blew it away. He blew Chat GPT out of the water. I tried. One year I won a karaoke contest to
The biggest hoax in
get
the
a room.
history of NA giveaways.
That he won karaoke.
What I did is I played to everybody's heartstrings. I sung a song to my wife.
Oh, what was the song?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, wow. Bonnie Tyler.
Well, it might have been the Dan Band version, but
Okay.
still, Total Eclipse
I
of the
probably
Heart.
didn't take the best approach by being as mean as possible to everyone in the building and then hoping they would vote for me. Probably wasn't a play.
Chase was a ro his talent was roasting, which came natural. But anyways, I guess we can kind of segue towards the end of this. It was such a special event that, you know, we wanted to try to, you know, share some of that with everybody else. And you know, if you get a chance, not just because I'll be chairing next year, but if you get a chance to come to Out of the Darkness next year, please come see us. It Francis can attest to that.
I just wanted to say one thing I thought was kind of funny is like I really felt kind of like there were moments where like I was feeling insecure and like I would but it also kind of led me into some really cool stuff. And so one of those was where I ventured off to the cemetery to see Bill Brooks. And so it was just like the really eerie feeling walking through a cemetery and looking for his grave. There were all these American flags everywhere, and he was like it was broken up into to gardens, and he was in the Garden of the Good Shepherd, and so there were like the statue of a shepherd like with little lambs and stuff like that. And I thought that was kind of an interesting thing for him to be in that particular shepherd, you know, like, I mean, that particular garden, because he's kind of like the good shepherd of NA in Alabama. So I do find his grave and I kind of sit on his down, like in a lotus position, like with his gravestone right in front of me. And like, I'm kind of holding my hands out and thanking him for his service, and like my hands are really kind of tingly and stuff. And then Mason calls me. He's like, "What are you doing, buddy?" And I'm like, "I'm sitting on top of Bill Brooks."
Yeah,
And so that was kind of a funny, like an interesting moment that he'd call me right when I'm like chilling out at the gravesite. But when I walk back, I came across this guy painting crosses, and he waved at me and said hi. So I walked down to him and kind of engaged with him about what he was doing. And he told me that he built all these crosses, and he was painting them because the paint was peeling. And he explained to me they were the baby graves that come from the hospital, and they just bury them in the cemetery, and they don't have names. Some of them had like little gravestones with names on them, like people that probably had money or something, but most of them were just totally anonymous. And I was kind of thinking about, you know, like this is what the 12th step is supposed to bring us to. You know, like we have to work hard to become a person like this guy, who's just out there doing that kind of service because he felt like somebody needed to do it. And I asked him if he had a kid. you know, like a, if he lost a child, he said, no, nope, I just feel like it's something that needs to be done. And that was one of the most moving moments for the convention for me too, is like when I'm led away from the whole thing to kind of go visit Bill Brooks, but also come across a you know, like this instrument of his higher power's will in the community. And, you know, like maybe I can get that place someday, you know, like where I could do that kind of service anonymously, selflessly. Yeah. So that I just wanted to mention that highlight, getting to go there and witness that. Thanks.
What a moment. Yeah. What a story. Yeah, that's it. It's funny. It's kind of like you go there and try to connect with the spirit of Bill Brooks, and you get to see like a living example.
Exactly.
You know. Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. So, Out of the Darkness 27 is in the books, and now we've officially put the stamp on it with our breakdown. And we're just looking forward to 28. We got a lot of work to do. Can't wait to see what Chase does on the committee. No.
Policy advisor, yeah, this... 4 more years.
Yeah. No, there's term limits, man. I've hit my term limit.
Congratulations on 5 years, Clean. I'm glad you were able to join us, because, like, I was talking to you on the phone, and you said you hadn't gotten to a meeting. I just hope you feel like you got a good shout out in the podcast.
Man, absolutely. It worked out just right. Glad to be invited on. Always a pleasure, you know. And remember, Francis, yeah, if you want to get to that point of living, you know, like you were talking, just stay clean and don't be a dick. Step one to that, you know. I think that's going to be the theme of Out of the Darkness 28, actually. Just don't be a dick.
Stay clean and don't be a dick.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Yeah, next year I'm looking forward to. It's going to be special to think about being 26 days clean at my first convention, to be entrusted to be the chair next year. And then hopefully we'll have some new blood that's ready to get involved in this convention and hopefully take it to a whole new level. I feel like the future's bright, and not just at conventions. Conventions are one thing, but this is the kind of thing that hopefully sparks, you know. I've had these little conversations today. Like, I was talking to one of my sponsees. He said, you know, after the convention, I heard so many things. Like, he's like, I got to get back on my game. I got to start doing some work. I got to get busy, you know. And that's been like a common theme of people that I've talked about. You know, people were talking about wanting to get back in the gym and wanting to do different things, you know. It's kind of sparked that desire to be better. And, you know, if some person makes a change in their life, one person makes a change, then I think it was all worth it. And, yeah, it was great. And thank y'all. Y'all played a big part in it too. So, yeah, I think that's all we got, unless y'all want to add anything.
No, thank you.
We'll be back Sunday with another episode. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us on our Living Clean podcast. This is another platform that we can share our message of recovery, which is an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Join that No Matter What Club. You can contact us through text. The number is 931-306-9364.